Spirit. I mean, as according to Scripture, he's called a lot of different names. He's called the Holy Spirit. Why y'all laughing at each other? Oh, okay. I thought it was an inside joke. Tell us all. No, I'm just kidding. But he's called many different names in the Bible. He's called Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Spirit of God. There's different ways. We're going to be talking this morning about some of the ways that he moves and how he is and some of the things that he does, because the Bible talks about there's people that they'll receive the word, but they deny the power thereof. Y'all real quiet. Kind of like those that the apostles are gone. There's no more apostles today. You can't give me not one verse that says that in the Bible, much less two. And the Bible says by two or three witnesses let every word be established, right? Or confirmed. But we're going to be talking about him this morning. One of the things that, or one of his main ministries that he does, is he is here to confirm or demonstrate the word of God when it's preached or taught. And he's also here to magnify and glorify Jesus. Not me or you, right? Not me or you, but magnify Jesus. I looked up the definition in the Strong's Concordance where it says Holy Ghost. Every verse that said Holy Ghost, it's called pneuma. It says a current of air, breath, blast, or a breeze. How many knows he's referred to in many of these ways according to Scripture? Let's look at some of them right quick. Let's look at... Well, I've got so many scriptures here wrote down. I'm trying to figure out which one I want to go to. Let's go to John chapter 3, I guess. Now, this is where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. He was one of the rulers of the Pharisees. Y'all remember that? He believed in Jesus, but he really didn't want nobody to know it. We can't be undercover Christians, amen? But here in John chapter 3, and for time's sake, I'm going to start reading in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now he's thinking naturally, right? Jesus is not talking naturally, he's talking spiritually. Verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, or thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. And that which is born of the what? Is what? That's what he's talking about. He said, Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. Now notice he's talking about the Spirit, this next verse. He says, The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest what? The sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now in the Amplified it says it this way, The wind blows or breeze where it wills, and though you hear its sound. Do y'all ever hear the sound of the wind? Yeah. You can feel the wind, right, on your face or your skin or whatever. You can hear the sound of it if it's blowing hard enough. How many knows you can feel the Spirit? You can hear the Spirit. We'll get into some more of that in just a minute. Let me finish this here. He said, Hear it sound, yet you neither know where it comes from nor where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Excuse me. Now let's look at Acts chapter 2. But notice that there, he compares the Holy Spirit or the moving of the Holy Spirit to wind. Right? Okay. Just making sure we're tracking here. See, some people, they're kind of scared of the Holy Spirit because they don't know who he is and what he does. We should not be scared of him, right? He's the Spirit of God himself. Well, if I can get over here. And we'll come back to this later, but I want us to see this right quick. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Now, how many knows? Let me stop here and just do a little side thing here. It's easier for the Holy Spirit to move and manifest or reveal, because that's His job. The Father and the things of the Spirit are the things of the Word of God in certain environments. He don't move very good in strife. Y'all, come on. You're getting too quiet. He doesn't move very well in division. Right? But He moves when there's peace. He moves when there's unity. There's actually, according to Psalm 133, a blessing commanded on unity. Right? How many knows it's easy for the Holy Spirit to move when it's an atmosphere of unity? The Bible says here that they was in one mind in one accord. How many know it's easier for the Holy Spirit to move, to demonstrate the Word, to manifest Himself, reveal, when we're in unity? Now, see, we can say we're in unity. Oh, yeah, we're all in unity because we're here in one place. But how many know that's not always the case? Timo could be thinking about the sandwich he's going to eat after lunch while he's sitting here. Not that he is. I'm just saying. I could think about the ham I've got on, and gosh, I hope, Scotty, you don't preach long, or we're going to be eating burnt ham for lunch. Y'all get where I'm going with this? Or you could be thinking, oh, Scotty, please don't preach too long, you know, because I told so-and-so on Facebook I'd meet them at Dollar General at a certain time to pick up that thing I bought. Well, you should not have. What is more important than God? What is more important than being in unity in one mind, thinking and focusing on one thing, Him and what He's saying and what He's doing and what He wants to do? Nothing. Not supposed to be. And we'll quote that scripture. Oh boy, most of us in here know it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things, because you want the things, will be added. But how many knows when you do everything that I just got through saying, you are not seeking first the kingdom of God. Because in order for me to seek God and to seek His kingdom first, I have to lay down, Johnny, everything that I could and would have an agenda about. And say, here I am, God, like an open book. Whatever you want, whatever you want to say, whatever you want to do, however long you want to move, that is my will to do your will. Is it not? Isn't that what Jesus said? When He was over there with the woman at the well that had had four husbands and then Shechem with the one that she was with. And what, that's not our message or whatever. And the disciples was going to get some food. Y'all remember that? And they come back and he had been talking with her. And they thought somebody had give him something to eat. What, y'all remember what he told them? He said, my food, that word food, when you look it up, it means nourishment. He said, my food is to do the will of Him that sent me. How many knows mine and your nourishment, and this is the reason why some are not nourished, is to do the will of the Father. When we come into this house, we should not have an agenda. Every one of us in this room, I guarantee you, if I said, tell us whatever you're needed, every one of us could tell you a need that we think we have. Whether it's a family member being born again, whether it's finances, healing in our bodies, right? And all of that stuff is the will of God. But how many knows when we all come in here and we got all that stuff going on and we're all trying to pull that stuff out, it's like static. But how many knows if we'll all come in here together with our hearts saying, God, we lay down everything of us. We want a fellowship with You, Father. We want You to fellowship with us. Because how many knows when you fellowship with Him and He fellowships with you, when He comes in the room, nothing else matters. It's like everything that you was concerned about, it just fades away. That's what we want, ain't it? And how many knows in that kind of atmosphere, the Holy Ghost will move and manifest and reveal the will of the Father, do miracles, signs, wonders, right? So we want to make sure when we come in, every time we come in here, and God, we lay down anything I think I need, because you know what I need. And I'm not just here for what I need, God, but I'm here, Father, to do your will, whatever that is. Amen? And when we come into one mind, our focus on Him, not looking at me, not looking at Scotty, not looking at Travis to sing the right song, get us going. Listen, you should have been going before you got here if you're a Christian. And if you're not born again, then we should have something going when you come in here where you can get going. So when we come in here with all of that in one mind, so that's what they was doing. One mind, one heart, one accord. Notice what it says here, what happened. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Ain't that what we are? We're here in one place, so we need to be in one accord, right? He says, and suddenly there came a what? Now remember, we just got through reading over there in John 3. Jesus was talking about the Spirit, and he said, you hear the sound. Here it is again, about sound. It says, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now notice what it said. It said, this one sounded like, I mean, the other one he's talking about, it doesn't describe the wind. It just says wind, right? Remember, we just read it. That could be just a cool breeze. How many knows when you've been working in the field or something and it's 100 degrees outside and you're sitting there under the shade sweating and all of a sudden there's a... You're like, oh, thank you, Lord. You become very aware of that wind, don't you? The Holy Spirit is the same way. He's referred to as wind. So that could have been any kind of wind. A gentle breeze, right? But here it says he's referred to as a rushing mighty wind. This one could be like tornado wind. Hurricane wind. I'm not talking about wind that brings destruction. The Holy Ghost doesn't bring destruction. But he says the sound of a rushing. I mean, this would be... I mean, I can't blow that hard, but anyway, y'all know what I'm saying, right? I mean, this thing, he's whistling. It probably sounds like a freight train coming because it is the sound of a rushing mighty wind. It's him. It's the Holy Spirit. He's coming. Jesus said he would, didn't he? Notice what happened here. It says, and it filled all the house. So they're in there, sitting there, been waiting on the promise of the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus told them, he said, go tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from the Holy Ghost. That word power means ability, might, strength. But anyway, it says, and it filled all the house. It'd be kind of like us sitting here this morning. We're waiting on him to come. And all of a sudden, we hear a sound like a freight train. And he comes in, and that wind, the Holy Ghost, is just filling this. And can you imagine this? This is what it says happened, right? It just filled the entire room where they was. This wind. So they're all experiencing the same thing. And then notice what it says. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of what?
Fire.
So how is he appearing to them here? Wind? Sound? Mighty rushing wind? And also cloven tongues as of fire. So here already we've done seen two different ways that he expresses himself. Or actually three if you want to count it. Because that one word wind, you don't really know what kind of wind. Gentle breeze, whatever. This kind of wind here he's talking about is a mighty rushing wind. Then he says here, cloven tongues as of fire. How many knows every one of these is the manifestation or the revealing of the Holy Spirit? In these last days, God's going to pour out his Spirit, and I'm talking about here in this house. We are going to see and do great and mighty things. The Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, is going to do things like probably we have never even imagined. Because the Bible says God is able to do abundantly above, greater than we can even ask or think. We need to know when it's him and when it's not. Because how many knows the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, test the spirits. Try them. Why? He says, because many false prophets has went out, right? So we need to test the spirits. We need to know. Because how many knows the devil is spiritual? He's a spirit, right? Demons are spiritual, right? They're spirits. Why? Because they're spiritual. The Bible talks about how even Satan himself and those that work for him transform themselves, what? As an angel of the light. Y'all don't remember it says that? Yeah. Yeah, he does. So what do we need to be? Discerning. Knowing. Knowing him. Knowing what the Bible says. So we know him when he comes, and we know him when we know it whenever it's not him. Why? Because anytime God begins to move, the devil wants to move also. And just because something is spiritual doesn't mean it's God. I don't care if it's spiritual or not. I don't follow any and every spirit. Right? So just because something is spiritual doesn't mean it's God. And we want to know the difference. Now notice he says here, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. In this fire it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with what? With the Holy Ghost. So we know this is exactly who he's talking about. All this stuff before. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now let's go over to Luke 3, I think. So we've seen him in John 3 is just referred to as wind, talking about the Spirit. We've seen here in Acts chapter 2, he's referred to as the sound of a rushing mighty wind, right? And cloven tongues like as a fire, right? Okay, let's see some more here. Because can't nobody tell you like the Bible. You can tell me your experience, but if your experience ain't in line with this, I'm not listening. Because how many knows just because you have an experience doesn't mean it was God. Could be you ate too much pizza the night before. Some people, they have visions and dreams, and then they want to get up in church and tell it, and it wasn't nothing more than you ate too many tacos. I'm serious now. Because the devil can get involved in things. Your own flesh can get involved with things. Just like them over there speaking with other tongues. It doesn't say the Holy Ghost spoke. They spoke. What is it? We are working together with him. He's not a demon. He doesn't come and he doesn't take you over. He gently moves. And you got to yield. You don't yield, you won't speak. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. Some of y'all looking at me like something. That's all right. Luke chapter 3, I'm going to start reading in 21. This will be the King James. It says, now when all the people were baptized, John's baptizing here and Jesus is coming. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized. So now we talked about last week how Jesus did not have to be born again. He was sinless. Every person except him that's born into the earth, you came through Adam, the seed of Adam. So therefore, when Adam sinned, all mankind sinned. Therefore, we must be born again. Jesus was not from Joseph or whatever. He was from God, right? So therefore, he was born sinless. But yet, there's three baptisms. The Bible talks about when you get born again, we're baptized into Christ. I believe it's, what is it, Romans chapter 6, I think it is, that talks about we're baptized into his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Then there's a baptism the Bible talks about, water baptism. That is an outward show of what is taking place in you inwardly, right? You get baptized, submerged in water or whatever. Then there's what we just got through reading, what he talks about, the baptism in the Holy Ghost. That is for every born-again believer. Amen? And we need to be convinced of it. He goes on here, and it says, and it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized, so he was baptized in water, right? And praying, the heavens was opened. And we know that John is the one that saw all this, and Luke is the writer of this book. And the Holy Ghost descended. So you can see him. But not everybody sees him. How many knows the Bible talks about there's what's called discerning of spirits? It's a gift in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, we know there was also some of that that happened in the Old Testament. Y'all remember, I'm thinking, I can't remember now if it was Elijah or Elisha. It may have been Elisha. But anyway, his guy that was worked with him or whatever, that was served under him, he told him, he said, there's more against us. Right? Remember Elijah or Elisha one told him, said, no, you don't get it. There's more with us than there is against us. And he prayed and he said, Lord, open his eyes. And the Bible says that the Lord opened his eyes and he could see a host, a numerous number of angels that was with them and for them, right? How come he couldn't see them before they was there, wasn't they? Because this has to be turned on. It's not all the time. But at this point, it's turned on and they're seeing. It says, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove. I've heard some people say the Holy Ghost is a dove. That is not what that just said, is it? The Holy Spirit is not a dove. He is a member of the Godhead. There is God the Father, there is God the Son, which now before he came, Jesus the Son, he was the Word. Right? John 1? It talks about the Word was with God and the Word was God, right? And the Bible talks about he came, became flesh and came down here and dwelt among us. Well, he was the Word. Then you've got, which he became the Son when he was born here into the earth. And then you've got the Holy Spirit. Me and you, we're made kind of like God. We are a triune being. You are a spirit. You will live forever one place or the other. But you also have a soul which is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you live here in a physical body. Your body is not you. It's just the vehicle, kind of, I like to think of it like the car that gets me around. You lose this body or come out of this body, you can't stay here. There is no departed people roaming around. Hello, it's called familiar spirits. Anyway, I ain't got time to get off and all that. It says, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. Talking about upon Jesus. And a voice came from heaven, which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Let me read that verse 22 here in the Amplified. It says, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, you are my Son, my beloved, in you I am well pleased, and find delight. Now here, he's confirming Jesus. It's what he always does. Right? That's why the voice came. See, you're not just healed for your benefit. Your healing glorifies and testifies of Jesus Christ. Without him, you could not be healed. Right? Because according to Scripture, he took stripes upon him to pay the price for your healing. Without his blood, there is no redemption for me and you. We are lost in our sins. There's only one way to the Father, and the Bible says it's through the Son. And the Holy Spirit always glorifies and magnifies the Son, Jesus Christ. Always. And that's what this voice was for, was to confirm. Now let's look. So we see here what? He came here, we've seen him as maybe a gentle wind. We've seen him as fire, talking about the Holy Spirit. We've seen him as sounding like a mighty rushing wind that filled all the house. How do we see him here? Y'all don't remember? In the bodily shape of a dove. What is a dove? Well, they're a bird that'll just peck your eyeballs out. Are they now? Gentle. So we see in these verses, I'm trying to get you to see the moving of the Holy Spirit. See, he's been moving around here and some of us didn't know it. If you see anything, if you get any light, if you get any revelation or illumination, he moved. Because I don't care how good of a speaker I am, how anointed I am, unless he shows you, I can't make you see it. You can't make me see it. But if you seen anything, if you got anything, if you heard anything, he moved. And we should acknowledge him. But we've seen how he moved. Now here, upon Jesus, he moves in the form of a dove. Doves are so gentle. Right? So he can move on you or in here. And I'm not talking about, he can move on you in your car. He should be moving on you in your car. He should be moving on you when you're sitting in your favorite chair acknowledging him. Acknowledging the Lord, so to speak, right? So it's not just in church. Because see, if we're acknowledging Him out here and He's moving on us and we're yielding to Him, it's not a problem when we come in here. It's just natural. We're so used to it. But here He moves in the form of a dove, which is so gentle. How many knows there's times to shout the house down when He's moving? Y'all don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. There is. I'm telling you, I have been in some meetings and where we went to church that, I mean, there was times the Holy Ghost would move, and I mean, there is all kinds of different things going on. One is dancing, people laying in the floor crying out to God, people at the altar repenting. I mean, all kinds of different, you just know He's moving. And then there were times the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, would begin to move and such joy and laughter would break out and people start. I'm not talking about flesh. Flesh likes to do that too, for you to see it. Not talking about none of that. But He moves in certain ways at certain times. So we've seen how He moves in some of those ways. But then when He moved on, it was so gentle. How many knows there's times that He comes in here and it's just like, it's like the Spirit of peace. Just so gentle. So to where you don't even want to say or do anything, but just soak up His presence. I tell you something, I experienced something. I had never experienced this before. And I actually, to start with, thought, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Because see, He's going to move on us and we got to yield. We got to know what to do and what He's wanting. Because how many know, there's some people that when the Holy Spirit begins to move, all they know to do is just start praying in tongues. And how many knows praying in tongues is not always what you need to do and He wants you to do at the time. But when they sense Him move, that's all they know to do. Or there's some people when they sense Him moving, all they start doing is just shouting, shout, 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 shout. And He's not wanting shouting. Right? So we got to learn. Just because He's moving, what are you wanting me to do? Why are you moving? I know you're not just moving for me to enjoy you. Right? He always moves with purpose, according to the will of God. I sat back here. I don't know. I think over here somewhere. Anyway, I'm sitting there. This happened, I think, 3 times, to be exact. First time I may have been over here. Anyway, praise and worship's going on. Now, used to, I mean, I'm quiet. I'm shy. I mean, you can ask Scotty or anybody who went to church with us when we went to Faith Restoration. If you're going to shake my hand, you got to come. I sit over here on this side. If you got to come over here and shake my hand, if you get any talking to out of me, you got to come over here. I'm kind of like April. You got to start talking to me. Oh, boy, she'll talk, but you got to get it started. Well, I was the same way. Now, Scotty, he's like popcorn. He'll stand up, testify every service, yada, yada. He's always got something going on, you know. Most time it was the Spirit. I don't know. But I was too busy thinking, gosh, sit down and shut up. You're causing people to look over here. That's how it was. I'm not like that anymore. It's freedom. But anyway, praise and worship's going on. So now, you know, I stand up. I lift my hands, you know. And if I sense Him at all, I'll shout, hallelujah! I did that over here, and I've been doing it normal, you know, just praising the Lord, you know, my eyes closed, focusing on the Lord. And just a second, I felt like a damper, like somebody just went, not a hand or not, just, y'all understand, like a presence, just, you know, kind of like a kid that maybe they're acting up just a little bit, and they know, and you go, they're sitting beside you, and you go, they know that means, what now? I felt that. I stopped, I opened my eyes, and I looked around, and I thought, what was that? And then I had this thought, somebody around you don't like that. And I thought, you know what, I don't give a rip. The Bible says, be careful, be careful. See, we can quote scriptures that He ain't saying. To stay with what we're doing and what we want. And that's not right. So anyway, I thought, you know what? I don't give a rip what you like. So I just closed my eyes. I lifted my hand back up, and I'm like, hallelujah! Well, that goes, went on, you know, and all that. Well, another time, not the next time during praise and worship, but anyway, another time, I'm sitting over here on this side. I do the same thing. I don't say that for y'all to hear me. Just, I don't know. It just feels good to me. I like it. Anyway, did it again. Hands raised, focusing on the Lord. You know, I said to him, hallelujah. And it was like that again, that same thing. Come, and it was just like a little bit of pressing me down. I'm not talking about oppressing. Y'all get what I'm saying? It's the Holy Ghost, but I'm not recognizing it's the Holy Ghost. So I open my eyes again this time, and I look around, you know, nobody's looking at me or nothing. I thought, I don't care what you like. The Bible says, shout for joy, right? Ain't that what it says? Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Ain't that another one? And I thought about those, and I thought, I'm going to do them, Johnny. If you don't like it, that's just too bad for you. Get your own eyes on the Lord and you won't know what I'm doing. I'm telling you this for a reason. I'm not trying to tell you my story because I don't get nothing. Anyway, sitting over there, I think on that side again. This is later. I don't know how many weeks or whatever goes by. It happens to me again, Johnny. This time I'm dumb as dirt, I'm telling you, without him. I know you are too, but we won't say it. Anyway, I wasn't getting it. Happens to me again. I thought the same thing again, but I didn't do it. That time I didn't go on to do it. I didn't shout for joy with a voice of triumph. I just was quiet, praise the Lord to myself, you know, and all that stuff. Johnny, he began to reveal to me, that's him. I don't have to know why. Maybe it's bothering somebody. Maybe it's not. I don't know why. How many knows? You don't have to know why. Just whatever he says, just do it. Why am I telling you that? I've been serving the Lord a minute. And I have seen and done a few things. But how many knows? You can't write a book on the 10 ways the Holy Spirit moves and get him down like a pattern. Never. Never. Just like we got through studying on and reading about how when Jesus, you know, he's spitting that guy's eye, just right hock to us, spitting his eyes, and he was healed. The next one he come to, he made mud and rubbed it on his eyes. Why? The leading of the Holy Spirit. He didn't just make that stuff up. He said, in myself, I can do nothing. He said, it's the Father in me that does the works, right? Well, that's telling me he's being led by the Holy Spirit. So me and you, we got to learn when it's him and what he's saying. Because see, just like the example I just told you, it's like he's going real gently to me. Calm down, quieten down. We don't need all that today. I don't know why. But see, I wasn't picking up. So therefore, I'm keeping on doing it, and I got me some scripture. I got me some scripture to go with it. But how many knows it's not just the Word or the Spirit? It's supposed to be the Word and the Spirit. And the Word comes first every time. Why? Because the Spirit confirms the Word. See, whenever it's just your Word, 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 you'll get very heady and intellectual and dry and dusty. I don't know about y'all, but I don't like dry and dusty. I like loosey-goosey. Got some WD-40. That's why the Holy Spirit's referred to also as oil. Anointing. But you just get all WD-40'd up with the Holy Ghost, and how many knows you get wild? Woo! You have some wild stuff going on. And ain't none of it according to the Word. God, y'all getting real quiet. See, there's some people. Help me, Jesus. Had him here before. They are anointed, Johnny. You can see it and tell it, you know it. If you know anything about the anointing. But somehow or another, they got it in this head. They got getting this prophesying ministry. And I got to noticing, every time church was over, wasn't nothing going on in here, But I got to noticing every time church was over and them and the congregation got out there past the doors, the spirit of prophecy just began to hit them. And they began to prophesy to people. How come it ain't happening in here, Johnny? Why's it got to happen every time you get outside away from the elders? Come on! Because say he's going to move in power. But there's a lot of stuff that ain't him, and we're not going to be fooled by what's not him. The Bible talks about, what is it over there? Maybe 1 Corinthians 14, I'm thinking. The Bible says that the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets, and that it should be judged. Oh, boy. I'm telling you, rebellion don't like to hear that word. Let me show you. You know what? I don't care what rebellion likes. You know why? Rebellion gets resisted. Y'all gonna say amen or not? Did I just quote a scripture? God hates pride. There's seven things that is abomination to him, right? A proud look, a haughty spirit, all that stuff. He don't like it. It's the very nature of the devil himself. And you think he's going to work with me or you with that? Nada. Absolutely not. But here in 1 Corinthians, now see, God's not getting, he's trying to teach us. Why? Because he's going to move. He's going to confirm the word with signs and wonders and miracles. Here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm sorry. It says, let me see if I can find it. Verse 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. Now, you got to remember, the Corinthian church that he's talking to here, they was a tongue-talking, spirit-moving bunch. Right? You read your Bible? They've got gifts galore. And they really are God. But they don't know how to operate them at all. To the point to where they've got these things going on, these gifts of the Holy Ghost according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but they're causing chaos and they're causing confusion because they don't know how to operate them. They're babies. And he tells them here, and hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, has a... No, let me go on now. It says, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. He says, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Now he's talking about giving out a tongue in service, not you praying. He says, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. 29, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others what? No, I didn't say that, did it? I don't need nobody to judge nothing. I can tell you right now, it's the Spirit of the Lord, because I said it is. What? That's unscriptural. We don't want to be unscriptural. Why? We don't want to get off. We want what he wants. We want his ways. We want his will, right? So therefore, we always have to take the Spirit back to the Word. We always have to take the gifts back to the Word, right? Because anything the Holy Spirit ever says, ever does, ever confirms will be in line with this. He'll never get out of it. So if it's ever out of it, because he's working with me and you, I missed it. I was sincere maybe in what I was doing. How many knows you can be so sincere in your heart, your motive be right, but get absolutely wrong? And that's why you got to humble yourself and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I come right back to this, God. Let's go again, Holy Ghost. I'm listening. I'm looking. I'm yielding. Right? But notice what he says there. Let me read this in the Amplified. It says, so let two or three prophets speak, those that are inspired to preach or teach, while the rest pay attention and weigh and discern what is said. Now I understand how come when you get past the doors, all of a sudden the ministry of the prophets hitting you in the wazoo. Because it ain't no ministry of the prophets according to the Spirit of God. Because now what you're doing is you're leaving in here where the elders are, where the entire body is, right? And you're going out there and you're handpicking out some babies. Why? Because you don't want them to know. Johnny, they never came and prophesied nothing to me. The Spirit just never hit them. Or to your pastor, or to Travis. But it was these babies, these young ones. Don't ever do that. Why? You can get in some major trouble with that. Right? So he says there, let the others judge. Right? We're going to do that here. All of us. We're going to do that here, right? That when things come forth, we're going to discern them. And if your pastor says, sorry, not God, what are we going to do? We're going to submit ourselves. Golly, bum. Somebody didn't like that. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, under God. Well, I submit to God, but I don't submit to no man. Well, then you don't submit to God. When they was talking against Moses, what did God say? He come and he said, I heard the things you said about me. And what did Miriam and Aaron, when did you hear us say something? We didn't say no. God, we would never. God says, oh, yes, you did, and I heard every bit of it. Miriam, you're going to get you a case of leprosy. Come on. Am I telling the Bible or not? See, God puts you under, puts me under leadership, elders, those that know more than I do, those that have the gifts of the ministry to teach me. See, there's a lot in the body of Christ. They don't want no teaching. They don't want to be taught. They want to be the teacher, and you got a bunch of nothing. That's how come people go and try to hijack other ministries. Because they don't follow God and they can't get nobody to follow them. So they want to come in where God is already established and take over. Y'all not saying nothing. Y'all ever seen some of that? Yeah, they've tried it here. How many times y'all seen that work? Now your pastor's very gracious about it. Most of the time. Most of the time. Do you understand that's one of the reasons why we gave y'all the papers and one of the reasons why there are requirements to work in ministry here? According to Scripture. And that's what we always want to stay with. And not the ones I pick out, right? Rightly divided truth. How do you do that? In line with other Scriptures. You don't take one out and build a doctrine on it. It's one of the reasons why we have requirements of 2 services a week here if you're going to operate in the ministry here. Why? Y'all remember the Scripture of the Bible? Know those who labor among you. I can't know you, what you're about, who you serve, if you show up here once a month and want to start getting a microphone. Ain't going to happen. Why? It's outline of Scripture. Y'all quiet. It's outside of Scripture. So therefore, your pastor doesn't allow that. We've had people come in here with their one guy coming in. He's got a luggage bag, Johnny. It's about this high. And he's dragging it behind him. He comes in, prances right around, sits down up here on the front row. Your pastor comes up here to greet him and all that. He says, I'm going to sing a song today. What did he say, 2 or 3 songs? Yeah. And Scotty told him, no, you're not. He said, yes, I am. He said, no, you're not. You know what happened, Johnny? He didn't sing no song, and to my knowledge, unless he come when I wasn't here, I've never seen him come here again. And see, you have to make sure when you're sitting out there and this stuff starts happening, because the devil will try. Why? Because he wants to shut down the move of God. He don't have to stop it. He just has to take it over. Then he'll stop God, the move that God wants to do. So you got to make sure when you're out there and your pastor or leadership, whoever's doing it at the time, and says, no, this is not God, we don't get offended. We don't get it. I guarantee He will do it so graciously. Why? We're all learning. Even Him. We're all learning. They don't, none of us know it all. So we're endeavoring to be led. We're endeavoring to be taught. Holy Spirit, show us, teach us. He is our teacher, right? Guide us, show us, bring us to the Scriptures, reveal to us. But you got to make sure, if it's you or me or whoever it is, that you don't even get upset for another person. Why? Because that has to be shut down. But then what is right? It has to be confirmed. This is right. I've got to stop because my time is up. I don't know about y'all, but this has been being so good to me. Because how do I know some of these things? Don't ask me. Because I have done some of them, not meaning to. That's why I said, you can be so sincere and your motive be so right in your heart, but yet do something wrong or in the wrong way or go a wrong direction. But how He knows, all you got to do is when He shows you, just humble yourself. That's all. Why? Humble gets grace. Grace is not just divine favor, but it's also the ability of God to do what we cannot do in ourselves. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share or comment or anything quickly before we close?